Welcome to Fanfic Friday, where we breathe life into the yarns threaded together by our fellow bronies. I am your narrator, host, and slightly insane Claude Cuckoolander, T.F. Nelson. Now, before we get started, I just wanted to let you guys know, Fanfic Friday is recorded in a Google Plus Hangout every Friday from 5:30 p.m. to 7 o'clock p.m. Central Time. You can circle Fanfic Friday with TF on Google Plus, and you'll basically be able to get into this hangout and listen to me record. It's kind of fun to be able to be in there. You can chat with other bronies that hang out, and just generally have a good time. Now, we also have a Facebook page, Fanfic Friday with TF. You can go ahead and like that page, or circle the Google Plus page, in order to get updates. But I'm gonna tell you a little secret. We don't actually have too many updates beyond the announcement for the podcast recording that goes up every Friday. But hey, you never know, one of these days we may actually get some news. Today we're going to read three short stories featuring the minor and background ponies of Equestria. Now, I usually enjoy the stories that feature minor characters more than I do those that try to include the main six, primarily because the background ponies' characters are more open to interpretation. It can be really tricky to write solid main six characters. I mean, there's even a few times in the show where a protagonist pony's character isn't quite consistent with the rest of the series, though those moments don't occur too often. With that said, there's certainly some good fics out there with main six ponies. There's It's a Dangerous Business Going Out Your Door by Jetfire, Better Living Through Science and Ponies by Penstroke, and Controlling the Weather by Koopa Mechanic, just to name a few. You should definitely check them out if you get the chance. Or you could just wait. We might just read Better Living Through Science and Ponies on this podcast in the future. Unfortunately, I don't see us reading It's a Dangerous Business, simply because it's a bit on the long side as far as narrated fics go. It's a decently long fic. It's got 19 chapters in it, which is actually pretty decent as far as reading the fic goes, but narrating it and doing post-production with it and editing the audio file, it would just take a really long time, and well, right now this is a one-man operation, so we do the short fics. Keep them short and sweet. Really, it's too bad, because It's a Dangerous Business is a stellar example of good development using the main six ponies. But today, we will be focusing the spotlight on the ponies that aren't always the center of attention. Well, at least not in the plot of the main series. Certain ones of these ponies get far too much attention sometimes, but what can you do? Gotta love the brony community. We have Obsolescence's rendition of everybody's favorite wall-eyed pony, Derpy. Derpy's Diary is a cute little story that lets us take a peek into a day from that ditzy Pegasus's life. Now, after that, the Cutie Mark Crusaders attempt to discover the facts of life in The Birds and the Bees, written by the worst writer. Don't worry, it is exactly what it says on the tin, but there's no risque parts in the story or anything like that. It's just a nice, funny little story. And finally, to finish us off, we have Dawn Fade's Pirates for a Day, where Pipsqueak and Dinky go on an abadentua on the high seas. Well, up in the high trees, anyways.
Well, that was a terrible pun, and y'all should feel terrible.
Yeah, I know. Anyways, let's get started with Derpy's Diary by Obsolescence.
Dear Diary, today was a nice day in Ponyville. Every day is a nice day in Ponyville. Oh, I'll put a little smile face right there. But today was still pretty great, even so. Not all great, but still pretty great. First, I brushed my teeth like the dentist told me to. She said it was the most important thing I could do after waking up, so it's something I've been trying to do a lot more often. She told me that I needed to work harder on my plaque. Plaque? P-L-A-C-K. What is that? When I saw her last Tuesday. I think that meant that I wasn't doing a very good job with brushing my teeth, so I've been trying to brush them as much as I can. That way, she'll be proud of me the next time I go in. I did a really good job at brushing today. I didn't drop my toothbrush or bonk my head on my mirror like I do sometimes when I'm not paying attention. That was good, because the last time I bonked my head, it broke the mirror, and that's bad luck. Oh, I better write a little sad face here. Breakfast was oatmeal, since I keep forgetting to go to the market. It's sort of goopy, mushy, and not very good without a whole bunch of brown sugar on it, but it's a lot simpler to make than what I normally eat, so I think I will be cooking oatmeal for breakfast more often. I was getting tired of eating burned black toast, burned black I'll cross that off there. Toast all the time anyway. I cleaned up after eating, fourth day without breaking any dishes, yay! Another smiley face. And got ready for weather duty. I comb my mane a whole bunch because sometimes Thunder Lane says that my mane is all messy and that I should comb it more when I go outside. I think my mane looks fine mostly, but Thunder Lane is better at weather patrol than I am, so I try to do what he says. I've noticed that I'm doing a lot more stuff in my mornings these days. I comb my teeth and brush my mane. Oh, whoops! Cross that off. I comb my mane and brush my teeth and a lot of other things now just because my friend said I should. I don't mind that much, though. They know a lot more about most things than me, even when they sound kinda bossy about it. Whenever they tell me I should do something, it's usually really good advice. Sometimes it's not. Like that one time Rainbow Dash told me to sit there and I fell through the roof. But I don't think that was on purpose. So I combed my mane a whole bunch so that it would be extra straight and not messy. I'm not sure if it looked any better after I combed it a bazillion times, though. Maybe it was a little less tangled? I guess? I don't know. Thunderlane would have told me if my mane looked better, but he's still sick with the feather flu, and I'm not supposed to go near him for a week. I hope he gets better soon. I had everything ready to go and out the door when the little hand on my clock was on the 8 and the big hand was on the 10. Weather Patrol always starts when the little hand is on the 9 and the big hand is on the 12, so that meant I could get there just in time. Go me again! I flew to Rainbow Dash's house, because today is Wednesday, and that's where Weather Patrol always meets on Wednesdays. Rainbow Dash's house is really cool, since it's built up in the sky and has a little waterfall of rainbow with it. I still like my house down in Ponyville, but I think it'd be neat to have a cloud house like Rainbow Dash does. Maybe I should ask her where she got hers. Rainbow Dash was giving orders to a lot of the other weather ponies when I got there. She is really great at leading Weather Patrol when it's her turn, and all the other Pegasus ponies listened close when she told them where she needed to go. There was one group that got sent out to Town Square, and another that she sent flying off to Sweet Apple Acres. And finally, when there were no other Pegasi... Oh, wait, that's not right. Cross that off. Pegasuses left, she turned to me. I waved at her and said, "Hi, Rainbow Dash," but she didn't say hi back. I think that's because being in charge of Weather Patrol means you have to act really important and serious all the time. Thunderlane is always strict, too, when he's in charge on Thursdays. So instead of hi, she just said that I was present, which is a smart way of saying that I was there. Then she said we were going to go to some place where I could work without causing too much trouble. I thought that was nice of her, because I break stuff sometimes, and then ponies get mad at me. Remember, Diary, when I worked for the moving company and I dropped those boxes on the ground, and my boss got really angry at me for costing the company money? I do. That's why I work for Weather Patrol now instead of the moving company. Because it's not as bad for me to mess up at kicking clouds as it is to mess up at delivering stuff.
I know. I'm going to draw a quick picture of Rainbow Dash here for my diary. Yeah, okay. Just add some stripes here for the rainbow tail and some rainbow mane. Oh, and the purple eyes and a cutie mark. A little white cloud and a little red dash and a little bit of yellow. And now just the rest of her body. There we go.
I almost forgot, Diary. This is what Rainbow Dash looks like. Sorry, I'm not very good at drawing her. We flew all the way out to the edge of the town, where there were still a load of clouds hanging out. I thought that meant we were going to be doing weather patrol together, and that would have been awesome, but it was only more training. I hate training. Draw a little sad face here. Rainbow Dash said it was going to be work like usual, and that it was my job to clear out all those clouds so she could see how I could get better. I don't like training much, but I know Rainbow Dash is a good teacher, so I said, "Yes, sir," and went to go clear out those clouds. I remembered that really big and fluffy clouds were bad, so I started kicking those away first. That was a good idea, because Rainbow Dash said that I was doing great so far, and that I should keep it up. It was going really well for a while, because the sky was getting bluer the more I kicked, and that meant I was getting rid of the clouds I was supposed to get rid of. Rainbow Dash was even cheering me on. I like that a lot, because Rainbow Dash doesn't say things like good job, Derpy, or keep it up very often, and it makes me really happy whenever she does. But I guess it wasn't all good, because I got excited and started kicking faster and faster. I could tell Rainbow Dash was yelling and really excited too, but I couldn't really tell what she was saying until I accidentally kicked a black cloud, and it shocked me. Ouch! It made me sad. Let me draw a little sad face here. Rainbow Dash flew over really quick and got mad at me in the cloud. She pulled me off the black cloud and blew it away with her wings. Then she shouted really loud at me that I needed to be a lot more careful and that I could have been hurt. And I felt bad because I knew that that meant I screwed up. I didn't let it hurt my feelings, though, because I know Rainbow Dash only yells at me a lot when she's worried about me. She shouted some more things about how I could have been shocked to death if I weren't so lucky. But after a while, she just kind of sighed and said, "Derpy, we've been over this before." I said that I was sorry. I tried to sound as sorry as I was, and I was really sorry, but I don't think I sounded sorry enough, because she started lecturing me again. She started saying a lot of stuff about cumulus clouds, and what kind I needed to stay away from, and what kind I needed to be really careful with. And then she asked if I was even listening to her. I was listening to her. I just nod a lot when she says stuff I don't understand because I don't want to look stupid. But I think Rainbow Dash is starting to think that means I'm not listening. I wasn't sure about all the types of clouds, but I thought I knew what she was saying, so I told her that yes, I was listening and that she was saying black clouds were bad. Rainbow Dash laughed when I said that and said close enough, so I guess that meant my answer was right. Then she slapped me on the back and said I'd be a great weather patroller if I just remembered that, so I'm gonna write it down now. Here, I'll draw you a picture so that you know what the black clouds and the gray clouds look like. See, here's a gray cloud. We should kick these ones, but this black cloud, we should not kick these ones. Rainbow Dash said that I could go home early today if I wanted, and that she would take care of everything for me, and I said yes to that. I used to think that being told to leave early meant I was a screw-up, like when they told me to go home all the time at the moving company. But Rainbow Dash doesn't mean it in a bad way, because she always tells me to come back next time. Rainbow Dash even says that I'm not as awful as clearing out clouds since we started training on Wednesdays, so I think that's a good sign. I'm still not as good at weather patrol as Rainbow Dash or Thunderlane yet, but maybe if I keep working hard at it, I will be someday. I would like it a lot if I could learn how to kick clouds without getting hurt. I didn't have that much to do since I got out of weather patrol early, so I ate lunch at the Main Street Cafe, where all the waiters are really nice. The daisy sandwiches were great, like always, and I drank all my water without spilling any of it. I kind of wish that I could get out of Weather Patrol early every day so I could eat there more often, but I know I shouldn't think things like that. After I had lunch, I went to go say hi to all my friends. Flying around town and saying hi to every pony is really exhausting, but it's something I like to do when I'm done working on Weather Patrol. There should always be time to be nice to friends. I said hi to Lyra, Bon Bon, Rose, Daisy, and a bunch of other ponies when I saw them trot by. They all said hi and waved back to me when they saw me. That's one of the reasons why I like Ponyville so much. I went to Canterlot once, and when you try to talk to ponies over there, they just sort of put their noses up and ignore you like you're not really there. I'm not as lonely in Ponyville as I was when I went to Canterlot. I went to go say hi to Rarity, too, but I saw one of her pretty flower pots when I was there, and I accidentally knocked it over when I went to go see it up close. It got dirt all over the floor when it broke, and that made a huge mess. I was really worried because I know Rarity doesn't like things to get messy, but she didn't yell at me for it. She just said that it was fine and that she had other flower pots, so I shouldn't worry too much about it. I don't know if it was really all right, though. That flower pot sounded really fancy and expensive. And Rarity looked sad when I knocked it over. She kept saying it was okay when I asked her, but she had that weird look on her face that ponies get when I break important things, and that makes me feel sad since I know I messed up. I told her I was super duper sorry for what I did, but she smiled and said it was okay. But I could tell that she wasn't really happy, so I don't think she was being very honest with me. I felt bad about breaking that flower pot, and I told her I would pay for it, but she said she wasn't going to have any of that. I didn't really know what to do, so I tried not to bother her anymore after that. I think I will try to send her a I'm sorry card tomorrow, though. I got the glitter and crayons and everything ready, so I hope it will make her feel better. I was feeling really sad on the way back from Rarity's house, but then I saw Pinkie Pie. She gave me an invitation to a party, and that cheered me up a lot. She asked why I was sad, and said that a great party can turn any frown upside down, so I told her that I would be at Sugar Cube Corner right after saying hi to all my other friends. Pinkie Pie's parties are always really fun, and I always enjoy going to them, even those I wasn't really invited to. Don't tell anybody that, Diary. I better write a little surprise upset face to show Diary that I really mean it. When I was done going around town to say hi to all my other friends, like Twilight Sparkle, Colgate, Cheerilee, and way more ponies than I can write down, the sun was starting to go down. I had no clue what time it was, and I'd already lost the invitation, so I was a little afraid of missing the party. It turned out that I didn't need to worry, though, because the party was just getting started when I showed up at Sugar Cube Corner. That was good, because usually I'm late to the party instead of early. Pinkie Pie was there at the door when I showed up, so she gave me a hug and let me in. She wanted to give me a muffin from a huge stack of food that was baked special just for the party, but I told her no thanks, and that I didn't really want a muffin, not even a sugary blueberry one. I hadn't had a muffin in forever, because I never forgot the last time Pinkie Pie gave out free muffins, and I still get kinda sick when I think about them. I imagine earthworms and other nasty stuff sticking out of muffins all the time now, so I don't really like to eat those anymore. I hope I get over that soon. I really miss banana nut muffins. Pinkie didn't seem to mind much, though. She gave me a plain old vanilla cupcake instead, and I nibbled on that while all the other ponies were still showing up at the door. It was a Sugar Cube Corner cupcake, so it tasted really good. The music that Pinkie had playing was really cool and dancey. I love dancing, but I didn't do it much because I always bump into stuff when I do. But it was a really good song, and all the other ponies looked like they were having fun, so I wanted to join in. I started shaking and moving my hooves to try and stay with the music, and I was having a lot of fun at first. But then I ended knocking over the punch bowl and breaking it. There was punch all over the floor, and some ponies slipped and fell on it, and I think they hurt themselves. I said I was sorry to them, but they were angry and yelled at me that they didn't want to hear it. Then I saw that every pony had stopped dancing and that no pony was talking, and I think they all knew that I was the one who broke the punch bowl because they all had that look on their faces. I was really embarrassed because I knew I shouldn't have been dancing, but I couldn't help myself and I ruined the party. Some ponies came and helped up the ones who slipped. Then the ponies who slipped stopped yelling and laughed at me and told me that my cutie mark must be bubbles because I bust everything that I touch. And maybe because my head was full of bubbles, too. I started crying then, because they were right, and I do break a lot of things and mess things up, even though I try my best not to. And I felt awful because every pony was staring at me. I wanted to run away and hide somewhere so that I wouldn't be teased anymore. But then Rainbow Dash came up and said, hey, she didn't do it on purpose. Then some other ponies said she already said she was sorry. And Pinkie Pie said that what those ponies were doing wasn't very nice at all, and that they could leave if they were going to act that way. She looked like she was really angry, but at them, not at me. I'm really glad that I have friends who stop ponies from being mean to me like that. Sometimes I get scared and can't think straight, so it's good to know that I have friends who can be there for me. The ponies who teased me got really quiet. They came up to me and said that they were sorry. I told them it was all right, but they left right away after that. I hope they're not still too angry at me for making them slip on punch. Every pony was still just standing there, even after they left. But then Pinkie Pie said, hey, there's still a lot of partying left to do, and every pony started dancing again. Then she said, hey, Derpy, you should dance with us. I didn't want to at first, but then she dragged me out and made me dance when I said no. All my friends said, go, Derpy, and told me I should dance, too. It turns out that dancing is a lot more fun when you're doing it with your friends. The party went on for a long, long time, but that was fine because it was such a great party. I said hi to all of my friends again and said thanks for helping me and ate some more cupcakes. I danced some more, too, and this time I was super careful so that I wouldn't break anything. Honest, I didn't knock over anything else all night. I'm gonna draw a little smiley face there, because that makes me so happy. There we go. Rainbow Dash smiled and waved back at me when she saw me waving at her. She doesn't always do that, so I was happy that she did. The party couldn't last forever, though. Ponies started going home, saying they couldn't stay up too late, and it was probably way past my usual bedtime, too. Pinkie Pie started looking a little sad near the end, like she does sometimes when her parties end, but we all told her how much we enjoyed it right before we left. That seemed to cheer her up a lot. There wasn't much left to do when I got home. I was all full of cupcakes from the party, so I didn't need any dinner, and I remembered to brush my teeth before getting ready for bed. And that was my day. I thought it was nice enough to write down in my diary, "That's you," because even though I did mess up sometimes, my friends still liked me anyway and didn't get too mad at me for it. It's great that I have friends like Rainbow Dash and Pinkie Pie who always try to help me out no matter what. I think that's why lots of days are so great in Ponyville.
I can't stop yawning for some reason, so I think I'm gonna go to bed now. Good night, Diary. Wish me another great day tomorrow. Love, Dorpy. Oh, whoops, cross that off. Derpy.
The End. The Birds and the Bees by The Worst Writer. The clean, cool stream just off the edge of Sweet Apple Acres washed away the troubles of the day. Apple Bloom, Sweetie Belle, and Scootaloo had had an exhausting set of adventures, and the refreshing dip was just what they needed. The clear waters washed away the heat and the sweat, and the tree sap, of another long day of play. The Cutie Mark Crusaders had gotten an early start, terrorizing no fewer than about a dozen ponies before noon. Their efforts had been unsuccessful, but enjoyable. Scootaloo's stomach rumbled, and her friend's stomach soon followed. They hadn't eaten the food they had made around lunchtime. Silently, the three of them nodded to each other and understood it was time to get something in their bellies.
Hi, girls! What can I get for you? Do you need cookies? Cake? Cupcakes?
Pinkie Pie gasped.
Do you need a party? No, Pinkie Pie. We were just hungry,
Sweetie Belle said softly.
Oh, that's okay. Delicious treats are fun, too. Here, try these muffins.
Pinkie Pie pushed a tray of muffins that hadn't been there a moment ago across the counter toward the fillies and smiled.
Thanks, Pinkie. How much?
Apple Bloom asked.
Oh, girls, don't worry about that. I can tell you're really hungry, and I need some pony to tell me how these muffins taste anyways. I used a new recipe. Free muffins? Thanks.
Scootaloo grinned.
You're welcome. I'm always happy to help a pony in need. Anytime you have a problem, you can come straight to your Auntie Pinkie, and she'll make sure you make everything okie-dokie-lokie.
Rarity stood next to Roseluck, gossiping away as the Cutie Mark Crusaders trotted out of Sugar Cube Corner.
Oh, I know! It's positively scandalous! There appears to be evidence, too. Haven't you noticed Lyra seems to be getting a little... larger? I'm fairly certain she's expecting...
Sweetie Belle stopped.
What's Lyra expecting?
She asked sweetly.
Oh, nothing, dear. Run along and play,
Rarity said, shooing her sister off with a hoof. I've never known her to have problems with her weight, so I don't know what else it could be.
Oh, Bon Bon will be so devastated.
Oh, I know! Listen, sorry to run off like this, Rarity, but I need to be somewhere 10 minutes ago. I'll see you around, okay?
Oh, it's not a problem at all.
You go and have a pleasant afternoon,
Rarity said, smiling. Sweetie Belle hadn't moved.
What did Lyra do to make her sad?
Sweetie, it's nothing. It's just silly gossip. Lyra probably isn't really going to have a fall.
Don't you and your friends have things to do? A fall? Why would that make Bon Bon sad?
Because they're both mares, dear.
Rarity suddenly went very stiff, realizing she had set hoof on dangerous ground. Sweetie was still a young filly, and she didn't know certain things. Things Rarity didn't want to have to explain right now. Apple Bloom and Scootaloo were now standing to either side of their friend, having become interested in the conversation.
I thought every pony always got all excited about new foals,
Scootaloo said.
Well, this foal would have to come from somewhere else, and...
Rarity trailed off as she stepped backwards.
She was getting pushed into a corner, literally and figuratively.
Somewhere else? Well, where do fools normally come from, and why is this different?
Scootaloo asked.
Aren't you girls still a little young to be asking about fools? We're not little, and we're just displaying a healthy curiosity,
Sweetie Belle chimed in.
Scootaloo, Applebloom, I'm sure your families will tell you all about the birds and the bees later. Sweetie Belle, what do birds and bees have to do with ponies?
Applebloom asked.
Oh, dear, you know, girls, this is a rather delicate topic. It is usually best for a young filly's parents to explain it to her, but only when she is ready. I just don't think that... come on, Rarity. Just because we don't have our cutie marks doesn't mean we're immature little foals. Come now, Scootaloo, I don't mean to imply that... Please, Rarity, I'm awful curious.
Applebloom was making that face, and Rarity was having a difficult time ignoring it. She would have to give them an answer, but she didn't feel comfortable giving her sister the talk just yet, much less two unrelated little ponies. Recalling her own youthful experiences, asking her elders difficult questions, and remembering the ridiculous answers she had been given, she decided there was no harm in stretching the truth a little and leaving out some details. Rarity sighed loudly and dramatically.
Very well, then. You want to know where foals come from? Sit, and I shall tell you all about the birds and the bees.
There was a rapid and insistent knocking on the library door. Twilight Sparkle pulled her muzzle out of the book she had been reading and glanced up the stairs. She quickly shook her head and trotted over to answer the door.
Spock! Spock! Please hurry and get Twilight! Oh, perfect! We was just looking for you, Twilight!
Applebloom rushed inside, followed by Sweetie Belle and Scootaloo, both of whom were struggling to carry large burlap sacks that were twitching and writhing.
Oh, hello, girls. What can I help you with? And what's in the bags? Oh, well, you see, Twilight, we was hoping we could get some help with a spell. I'd be glad to help, but, your bags are moving. Don't you worry none about that. These here are ingredients.
Twilight had a worried look on her face, and then glanced upstairs again.
Spike's been feeling a little under the weather, but maybe we should get him to help us with, this. It looks like you girls have got your hooves full, just holding on to the, spell components. I'm sure actually utilizing them will at least be difficult, if not more. Let's just wait here and I'll be right back.
Each of the Cutie Mark Crusaders beamed a wide smile at the Lavender Unicorn as she ascended the stairs.
Do you think she can do it by herself? My sister said it takes two ponies. Of course she can! Rarity said it was a special kind of magic. And Twilight is like the most magical unicorn in Ponyville. She's practically the Rainbow Dash of magic. I wouldn't worry about it. Why, if even half the stories my sister tells me are true, she can definitely handle it.
The filly's debate was cut short as Twilight Sparkle came to the bottom of the steps with Spike right behind her. The two crossed the room and stood in front of the eager trio.
Okay then, so what exactly are we doing here?
Twilight asked.
Yeah, and why'd I have to come down here? What do you need my help for?
Spike grumbled, brushing one claw under his nose. Applebloom spoke up.
Well, you see, Rarity just told us all about the birds and the bees and how foals are made, and we thought it sounded real exciting.
Twilight's eyes shifted back and forth between the two large squirming bags.
I'm not sure I understand.
Spike sneezed. A huge ball of green flames shot out in front of him and engulfed the bag Sweetie Belle was holding, causing it to disappear in a great puff of smoke.
Great! It took us forever to get all those birds!
Scootaloo huffed, dropping her cargo as she crossed her forearms in frustration.
Birds? What's going on here? And what's in the other...
Twilight's eyes fell to the lump of fabric on the floor as she watched the wriggling mass inside it inch closer and closer to the now free opening at the end. The Cutie Mark Crusaders bolted out the door, immediately knowing that they did not want to stick around to get in trouble and get stung. The library erupted into complete chaos, and Twilight cried out loud enough that every pony in Ponyville could hear her.
Bees!
Fluttershy quietly squeaked as she fell to the ground. The trio of fillies stopped running to offer their apologies to the poor Pegasus, and two of them turned to continue running. Applebloom did not. Wait a minute. Fluttershy knows all about critters and stuff. Maybe she could help get all them bees back where they belong. Fluttershy stood and gently brushed herself off.
Oh my goodness. Has there been an accident with bees on the farm?
Nuh-uh. The bees are all at the library, scaring the living daylights out of twilight.
Why would there be a swarm of bees indoors?
The three little ponies all looked downwards and shifted their hooves.
Girls, I know you're eager to discover your special talents, but it's dangerous to disturb wildlife.
Yeah, we know.
We were just going to have Twilight help us make a foal,
Scootaloo said with a guilty look on her face.
Oh, my! You girls are much too young to be having foals, and bees should certainly not be involved.
But my sister told us you needed birds and bees.
Oh, goodness. I think there's been a misunderstanding, girls. The birds and the bees are just metaphors. There aren't actually any birds or bees involved.
I don't get it. Where do foals come from, then?
Fluttershy's face turned a deep red as she shrunk backwards.
Oh, well, you see, when a mare and a stallion...
Could you repeat that?
I don't think I heard you.
Scootaloo stepped forward. The powerful blush on the timid face of the Pegasus intensified, and she made herself even smaller. Her lips moved, but it was impossible to hear a word.
Fluttershy, you're gonna need to speak up. Where do foals come from?
By this point, Fluttershy had closed her eyes and become a tiny shivering ball of fur. Her mouth still moved, but there was no trace of sound coming out. The Cutie Mark Crusaders had returned to their clubhouse to formulate a plan to deal with the bees.
Maybe they would be really talented beekeepers.
They set to work drawing out ideas to get the situation under control, when Sweetie Belle stopped and set her crayon down.
Girls, we still didn't find out where foals come from, and I don't think I want my Cutie Mark to have anything to do with bees.
Yeah, me neither. Besides, I'm sure Twilight's crazy magic can deal with a few bees.
You're probably right. Hey, Applejack, where do foals come from?
The farm pony dropped the basket of apples she was carrying and froze in place. She didn't look forward to this conversation, but she had always believed honesty was the best policy.
We tried to ask Fluttershy, but she just got all embarrassed and quiet.
Yeah, and Rarity said a bunch of junk about birds and bees and the magic of love.
Applejack slowly turned to face the three fillies with a nervous look on her face, telling her sister she could do, but there was no way it was right to go putting ideas into other ponies' heads. Granny Smith was furious the day Big Macintosh came home talking about what his buddy had taught him about hard cider. Honesty was all very well and good, but a pony could get mighty angry if their foal learned something from the wrong place. If the fillies had already asked more than one other pony and not found an answer yet, it was unlikely she would be able to get away without telling them something.
You don't say. Well, I reckon I could tell you all about it. It's not particularly complicated. Well, when two ponies love each other very much, and they decide they want to have a foal together, they write a letter to the princess, asking if they could please have one. Then the princess uses her real fancy magic, and poof! That's how foals get made. Yep, definitely.
Well, that explains magic and love, but that didn't have anything to do with birds or bees, Scootaloo protested.
The bird is the stork. It's a special kind of bird, and it flies out from the palace and brings a new foal to its parents. And the bees are just the way ponies used to send letters.
Applejack's snout was scrunched up and her face were darting rapidly around the area. She would make a terrible poker player. A fantastic rainbow streaked through Ponyville at an entirely unsafe altitude. One wrong move and she'd be Rainbow Crash all over again. But avoiding risks just wasn't her style. She needed to keep her reflexes razor sharp so she could...
Oh my gosh, Rainbow Dash! Hi!
Turn her head and slam directly into a building before sliding painfully to the ground. She fell over with a dull thud.
Hi, Rainbow Dash! Hey, are you busy? Do you want to hang out?
Scootaloo, come on, Nail. Don't go ditching us just yet. Besides, we still didn't find anything out. Hey, Rainbow Dash, do y'all know how foals are made?
Crud. This wasn't good. Rainbow Dash had limited knowledge of the world. She knew flying, she knew pranks, she knew weather, and that was basically it. She didn't know a lot, but she was okay with that because she didn't need to know a lot. But there are some things that every pony is supposed to know. Things that are embarrassing to grow up without learning. Things that would make ponies laugh at you. Twilight Sparkle didn't know the first thing about snowball fights, and that had gotten quite a laugh. Every pony felt bad and apologized later, but it had been hard to resist rolling on the ground, pointing and laughing at a pony who didn't understand something as simple as throw snow, dodge snow. Not knowing how foals were made, at her age, was something Rainbow Dash could not admit to. The embarrassment would be too much. She needed to slide out of this situation as smoothly as possible without revealing her ignorance. Her head hurt a little from the crash earlier, and she was having a hard time coming up with a decent way to excuse herself for immediately flying away. She would need to have something important to go take care of. Something that was believable and didn't damage her image. The perfect idea came to her. An excuse that not only didn't spill her secret, but actually reinforced the opposite idea. She was totally an expert.
Sorry, Squirts, but I gotta fly. I'm actually off on my way to go make a foal right now. Later.
Y'all think Twilight's taking care of the bees yet? We've asked just about every pony else, and we ain't any closer to a good answer.
Oh, she'll definitely know, but she might be kinda mad at us, said Scootaloo.
Maybe we should go apologize, and then if she forgives us, we can ask her, replied Sweetie Belle.
Applebloom and Scootaloo nodded at this, and the three fillies cantered back toward the library. When they got there, they noticed the front door was missing. Applebloom gingerly stepped inside and saw a purple unicorn covered in small red lumps sitting in a corner. Floating above her was a glowing ball, making a terrible buzzing noise.
Pinky? She asked.
Twilight? Are you okay?
Oh, it's you.
Yes, Applebloom, I'm fine. Mostly.
I just need to stay here and concentrate on keeping the horrible little demons in place until Pinky comes back. She said she could help me get rid of them.
Scootaloo came inside and sat next to Applebloom.
We're really sorry about the bees.
Twilight sighed.
It's okay, girls. Just please don't bring any bees anywhere near me ever again. Now, I believe you three have some very misguided ideas about where foals come from. And I know I have some books here that can explain everything to you.
That should be on that shelf over there, she said, pointing a hoof to one side.
A poofy pink pony bounced in through the doorway, carrying a jar full of peanuts and a goose on her back.
We should be able to get rid of the bees with these!
That's good. The bees will go away, we'll get our questions answered, and Rainbow Dash will have her foal, Sweetie Belle said, smiling.
Pinky dropped the jar and the goose, jumping up into the air with a gasp.
Rainbow Dash is having a foal? I need to go plan a party! Sorry, Twilight, I'll come back in a little bit. Later, bye!
The glass jar shattered on the floor, scattering peanuts everywhere and causing Twilight to lose her concentration. The Cutie Mark Crusaders fled the scene once more as Twilight's screaming and the buzzing of the bees were joined by the sound of a madly honking goose. Sugar Cube Corner was more decorated than it had been in months. Countless streamers and curled-up banners hung from every available surface, and every table had a beautiful triple-layered cake in the middle. No expense would be spared for an occasion this special. Applejack and Fluttershy and Rarity had all shown up promptly, and Pinkie Pie could hardly contain her excitement. Sadly, Twilight wasn't able to make it. She was at the local clinic for some sort of minor allergic reaction that ended up becoming serious from exposure to large doses. Dash was supposed to show up last so every pony could surprise her. She would be showing up any minute now. Right on cue, Rainbow Dash stepped in the doorframe, staring into the darkness. All at once, the lights came on and the banners unfurled.
Surprise!
Dash stared at the banners hanging around the room, her jaw brushing against the floor.
So, darling, you simply must tell me who the lucky stallion is. How long have you two been seeing each other? Why haven't you told any of us about him?
Is it some pony we know? Are you embarrassed about who it is? Oh, we have so much to discuss.
Fluttershy blushed lightly and smiled.
I'm very happy for you, Rainbow Dash.
Applejack quietly brought her face right next to the cyan Pegasus. Her expression was cold.
If you hurt my big brother, I will end you, she whispered.
Big Macintosh? I've barely ever said two words to him.
Applejack let out a long, whistling sigh.
Whew! That sure is a load off. I just assumed, what with you spending so much time near the farm, I'm right sorry for thinking you would do such a thing without telling me.
Do what? Listen, Applejack, Pinky, Rarity, Fluttershy, I don't know what's going on here. This is all just a big misunderstanding.
A still somewhat lumpy Twilight Sparkle trotted inside, followed by the Cutie Mark Crusaders.
Yes, it is, and it's about time we clear this all up. There'll be no more confused little fillies, no more rumors about who's expecting a foal, and no more bees.
Twilight slowly plodded to the center of the room.
When two ponies love each other very much, they can choose to work together to bring a foal into this world. There are no letters to the princess, no spells, no birds, and no bees. All it takes is love.
Sweetie Belle and Applebloom smiled and cooed.
Ew!
Scootaloo frowned and stuck out her tongue.
But that doesn't explain where the foal comes from, Rainbow Dash stammered. You know, and that's what they wanted to know all along.
She smiled sheepishly.
Ooh, ooh, I know this one!
Pinky exclaimed, bouncing halfway to the ceiling. 10 minutes later, she had finished explaining, in somewhat unnecessary detail, exactly how a foal is conceived and delivered. Fluttershy, as expected, was blushing furiously. So was Rainbow Dash. Princess Celestia stood in front of the door to her sister's room. She had played a terrible prank on Luna the previous night involving far too many frogs. She had apologized and promised to never use amphibians in her pranks again, but she wanted to apologize one more time. Celestia knocked twice and waited. Just as Luna opened the door with a smile that matched her sister's, a large burlap sack appeared in her face and burst open. Luna screamed and the castle burst into a flurry of panic shouting. There were birds everywhere. The End. Pirates for a Day by Dawn Fade. Trees are strange things. Their lives, if left untouched, are long and peaceful. But if they are cut down, they can become an infinite amount of other things, from houses to paper. To make those things, the original peaceful tree must be destroyed. There was no escaping it. However, there was a secret. A secret only little ponies knew about, something the grown-ups had long forgotten. There was a way to make the beautiful trees into what you need without cutting them down and chopping them up. It was this magical secret that transformed the big oak tree into a ship, and the surrounding forest into a raging ocean.
Imagination.
A tremor of impact shook his jaw as Pipsqueak swung his sword against the tree branch.
Take that!
He yelled triumphantly around the handle as he saw the raider fall off the side of the ship. A scream drew his attention away from his opponent. He saw Dinky had leapt down onto a lower branch on the tree, and her mane had caught in a branch. He also saw that she had leapt up onto that railing and was struggling to duel one of the masked ponies.
I'll save you!
He shouted as he jumped from his branch to assist her. Landing hard and barely maintaining his balance, Pipsqueak reached up and carefully untangled the few blonde hairs that clung to jagged imperfections in the bark. The masked pony tripped and dropped off the side into the waves below. His fair-haired companion grinned at him.
Thanks, Pip! I think that's the last of them!
Pipsqueak nodded and laughed.
We sure showed them!
His voice was muffled, so he sheathed his sword.
But we better go up to the crow's nest and make sure there are no more coming!
With a determined nod, Dinky led the way, scrambling up the thick wooden monolith and using the many branches as hoofholds. Pipsqueak mimicked her every movement carefully. They were quite high up, but he was okay with that. It's why they chose the tree in the first place, because it was the biggest. Therefore, they had the biggest ship. The two ponies scaled their mast quickly with practiced ease. They had served on their ship together for a lifetime, fighting other pirates and monsters. Being mighty pirates was a dangerous job, not for the faint of heart. Which is why neither of them were scared when they reached the highest stable branch. Dinky edged as far out as she dared so Pipsqueak could clamber onto the final part. He looked out at the view and for a moment all thoughts of pirates and ships were washed away.
Wow!
Dinky breathed, eyes wide as if to take as much of the view in as she could. The whitetail woods stretched away from them, curving over subtle hills and caves. Endless spring leaves made a multicolored patchwork of the land, purple, orange, green, and red. It was like an ocean of color gently rippling in the wind as a breeze would flow across the open sea. They could see forever. An unfamiliar feeling sunk into Pipsqueak as he stared at the incredible view. Sitting there beside his best friend as they watched the peaceful forest sway made him feel content. He couldn't think of anywhere he would rather be, or any pony he'd rather be with. With that in mind, he smiled at Dinky, and she returned it. They had met on Pipsqueak's first day in Ponyville. He had been so nervous and scared of every pony back then. His mother sent him out to buy some sweets to ease his anxiety while she moved their belongings into their new home, and it was as he trotted quietly through town that the gray filly crossed his path. He had been looking at the ground, and she had been looking away, so they collided in a puff of dust and shouts of surprise. The bits he was carrying spilled out across the road, shining golden flecks amongst the dirt.
"I'm so sorry," squeaked the filly, looking at the mess.
Pipsqueak forced himself to speak, swallowing his nervousness.
"It's okay,"
he said quietly as he began picking up his money. She rushed to help him, darting around the road.
I should have looked where I was going. I walk into things a lot because I daydream and stuff. My mom says I get it from her,"
she rambled amiably as she finished the task and passed him the bits. Pipsqueak tried to thank her, but the words caught in his throat.
Hey,
Dinky cocked her head curiously.
"I've never seen you before. Are you new in town?"
He nodded, words failing him. She had been the first pony to talk to him since they arrived that morning.
"Well, let me welcome you to Ponyville."
She smiled and offered him a hoof, which he shook hesitantly.
"So what kind of stuff do you like?"
Her friendly smile was contagious, and he couldn't keep himself from bearing a toothy grin. If all the ponies in this town were like that, he was beginning to like this place.
"I like pirates," he had declared.
Dinky giggled at his enthusiasm.
"Hey, me too. Hey, where were you going? I could help you find stuff. I was looking for a sweets shop to buy some sweets."
He had felt a little silly saying that. She stuck her tongue out.
"Well, duh. Come on, I'll take you to Sugar Cube Corner."
The filly had taken a few steps away before looking back with that smile he liked so much. He had hastened to follow her. That same smile was a mirror image of the one she wore on the branch beside him. Ever friendly, ever reassuring. It drove away his anxiety every time he saw it.
"You're the best friend ever," he blurted out.
She frowned, and he was suddenly worried that he shouldn't have said that, but his fears were assuaged by her next words.
"How can I be the best friend ever? That's you."
Pipsqueak rubbed his chin thoughtfully, and Dinky did the same. Then, at the same time, they gasped with sudden realization.
"We can both be best friends!"
the little ponies cried in unison. They grinned and pirate hugged. It was a normal hug, but they both said "Arr!" during it. That one was Dinky's idea, and Pipsqueak had approved greatly. They parted, and something caught his attention. He gestured to the forest on the other side of Dinky.
"What's that?"
She turned and squinted through the canopy of colors. A little blue speckle reflected sunlight from underneath the trees.
"I think it's a little lake,"
she squealed excitedly.
"A lake?"
Pipsqueak had never heard of a lake in the Whitetail Wood before, and they played there all the time.
"Yeah, come on, we have to check it out."
The feeling was mutual, and the colt slipped onto the lower branch and carefully yet excitedly descended from their tree. The ponies keeping the ship afloat had moved on to the next adventure. So the ship sunk beneath the waves of thought once more, and the tree remained. Pipsqueak dropped to the stick-littered ground and waited for Dinky to arrive beside him. A large snap was followed by a short scream, and suddenly a weight crashed onto his back and drove him to the ground. The sticks and twigs scratched against his belly, and he yelped in surprise. Dinky had fallen, but only from the lowest layer of branches. Pipsqueak had served as an incredibly soft landing platform, not that he had any choice in the matter. The filly climbed off him and helped him up worriedly.
"Are you okay? I'm sorry. I was thinking about the lake and I slipped. I'm sorry."
Pipsqueak winced at the ache in his back. It would certainly bruise later.
"I'm okay. Are you? You fell."
Dinky nodded reassuringly.
"I'm fine. You sort of cushioned my fall."
She looked slightly sheepish.
"Sorry again."
The colt waved away her apology as he brushed dirt off his coat.
"That's what best friends are for," he said.
Dinky laughed, but still looked like she was feeling guilty, so Pipsqueak suggested,
"Let's just go explore that lake, yeah? I feel fine."
Having been reassured, the filly led Pipsqueak into the forest in the direction of the lake. From what he had seen, it was more of an oversized pond, but he couldn't think of a better word to call it. Only the faint reflection of sunlight off the still surface had alerted him, tucked away as it was beneath the trees. They came upon it quickly, as it was not far from their giant oak. The little ponies crashed through a spiky thicket of bushes and stumbled to the edge of a clear little pool. It was the size of a house and just as deep.
Cool! Dinky squeaked before she dipped her hoof in the water. Hey, it's kinda nice. Wanna swim?
Pipsqueak answered her by unbuckling his sword belt, leaping over her head and landing in the water, splashing the filly and soaking her to the bone. He surfaced and looked back innocently.
Oops! I'll give you oops! Dinky shouted in mock anger, diving at him.
He yelped and backed away, swimming as fast as he could to the center of the mini-lake. Dinky growled like a monster as she pursued him. He splashed back at her and couldn't help breaking into laughter when she caught him, grabbing him around the waist and tickling him underwater. The filly giggled uncontrollably when he returned the attack, digging his hooves into her ribs.
Oh, you're going to pay for that,
she declared when he stopped. Her eyes itched from the water and she rubbed at them vigorously. But when they cleared, Pipsqueak was nowhere in sight. He had submerged himself and was slowly circling around behind Dinky for a surprise attack. Just before he launched his assault, a glint in the corner of his eye distracted him. Buried underneath some dirt and underwater weeds, something golden flashed. His eyes widened and he quickly surfaced, sucking in air. Dinky spun around, bracing for the attack, but was instead met with the colt's excited expression.
I saw something shiny down there, he gasped.
Her eyebrows rose instantly.
Really? Is it treasure?
In moments, she was as energized as him.
I don't know. Let's go look.
Pipsqueak regained his breath and together they dove beneath the water once more. Their vision was blurred, but there was no mistaking the glint this time. They swam down furiously and tore at the weeds. They came apart quickly and revealed a little brown pouch with a hole torn in it, revealing a tiny speck of yellow inside. The two little ponies exchanged a look of pure amazement, and Dinky quickly scooped up the pouch. They returned to the surface as quickly as they could manage, bursting through into fresh air again. What followed was a torrential flow of high-pitched gibberish as one of their fantasies came true. The pair rushed to the side of the lake and climbed out. Not even the sudden freezing wind dampened their spirits. Dinky dropped the pouch on the ground and two yellow discs clinked out onto the dirt. For a brief moment, the ponies stood in absolute shock and disbelief. Then, simultaneously, they leapt into the air and hugged each other.
Treasure!
When they parted, they immediately dropped to the ground and began inspecting their loot.
They're gold doubloons! These are gold doubloons, Pipsqueak squeaked. No, they're galleons, Dinky countered.
The colt slapped a hoof to his face.
A galleon is a ship, Dinky. Yeah, she held the coin up to his face. And what does that look like?
On the side facing Pipsqueak, there was a mighty ship carved with all the sails unfurled, caught in a great wind.
Wow! That's so cool!
He shouted, taking the coin into his own hoof.
I know, right? The other side is just a star.
Dinky picked up the other coin. Pipsqueak glanced at the other side momentarily, but it was the ship that held his attention. He could almost see the sails rippling in the wind, the waves crashing against the bow as it charged through the water. His best friend held the pouch open for him.
The sun's gonna go down soon, Pip. Let's take them back to Ponyville so they don't get lost.
Reluctantly, the colt relinquished his coin into the brown container that Dinky carefully gripped in her teeth. Pipsqueak put his sword belt back on, the metal buckle very cold against him. They began to walk back in the direction of their homes, shivering slightly as the wind rolled over their wet fur. As they trudged between trees and around shrubs, they pondered the origin of the coins.
Maybe a pirate king hid his hoard there, but most of it got stolen?
Pipsqueak offered.
What would a pirate king doing so far from the ocean?
Dinky shook her head.
I think some pony used the lake as a wishing well.
The colt sighed dejectedly.
But that's boring.
The filly raised her head high, trying to look like a canterlot pony.
Well, sir, I'm just being rational.
Huh? It means I'm making sense, and you're not.
She stuck her tongue out and giggled, ruining the high-class image. Pipsqueak rolled his eyes and chuckled, head still swirling with images of pirate kings and chests full of gold. Their discussion continued even as the sky faded into a warm orange, and they arrived at Ponyville as the sun kissed the horizon. There were still many ponies out and about, some just enjoying the view and others running last-minute errands. Dinky started to look agitated.
What's wrong?
Asked Pipsqueak as they came to a stop in the middle of the town. She bit her lip worriedly.
My mom doesn't like it when I stay out past sunset.
You could just say you're at my house, he suggested.
I suppose,
but I really should go home. I don't like making her worry. Pipsqueak thought that that was rather sweet of his best friend. All right, then. What should we do with the coins? She hesitated for a moment, and then placed the pouch on the ground, nudging it towards him with one hoof. You take them. You've loved pirates your whole life. I only started when you got here. Though he was touched, he didn't think that was the best solution. But without you, we wouldn't have found them. Well, what do you want to do then? He thought for a moment, and then his eyes lit up with brilliance. I've got it! He kicked open the pouch and slid one coin over to Dinky. We each get a coin. They can be, he racked his brain, super special pirate best friend coins. Dinky beamed and quickly rushed forward to pirate hug him. He returned it with enthusiasm and they started laughing, drawing a few amused looks from passerbys. When they parted, their ribs ached from mirth. I'll see you tomorrow, super special pirate best friend, Dinky shouted as she trotted away waving the gold coin. You bet, Pipsqueak raised his doubloon in a salute. The grin hurt his cheeks, but it never left his face, even when Dinky had long vanished from sight. For a day, they had been real pirates. They found real treasure. It was as if everything he wished for had come true, and it was all thanks to Dinky. He looked at the coin fondly once more, rolling it between his hooves. The mighty vessel seemed to rock with the motion, like it was in a tiny golden ocean. Pipsqueak squinted and looked closer. Two little carvings he had missed before now stood out in the sunset light. There, on the bow of the ship, were two little ponies. The end.
Alright, those are some great fics. Mega kudos to their authors. Now you can find Obsolescence, OBSELESCENCE, The Worst Writer, all one word, and Dawn Fade on FimFiction. Awesome stories, you guys. Keep it up. All stories read on Fanfic Friday with TF are copyright their authors. All characters in the stories who were originally created by Hasbro are copyright Hasbro. Fanfic Friday with TF is licensed under Creative Commons 3.0 Attribution Non-Commercial Share Alike. Basically, this means you can do whatever you want with it, as long as you drop my name and don't try to sell it. Though, if anybody tried to make money off anything related to My Little Pony, I think it would be Hasbro who would have the biggest issue with it. This has been a production of T.F. Nelson. You can find me on G+, under T.F. Nelson Scraton, S-C-R-A-T-O-N. And you can find me on DeviantArt and FimFiction under the name Dekarrin, D-E-K-A-R-R-I-N. Stay pony, my equine friends.